crisis than the one it faced in the Middle Ages, but perhaps it's a far more difficult crisis, because today's crisis is a spiritual crisis of the secularization of Western man, where much of what the church has to say is really not relevant to the problems of man any longer. And therefore, some of the speeches, if you read the speeches of the Pope, or if you read any of his encyclicals, a great deal of it is completely irrelevant to modern man. It's not that he's wrong or right. I mean, in Yiddish you would say, Eret Nitzum Zach. He's not talking about the same world that we are. And it's also part of the reason, therefore, I don't want to go into this as a discourse on the church, but it's part of the reason that the church, especially in the United States, deals now more with political issues, nuclear proliferation, other civil rights, the idea of sanctuary for aliens, all of these problems, the right of abortion even for non-Catholics, which is a political issue. The church speaks to those issues because on religious issues it's played out. It doesn't have an audience. And on redistribution of wealth, all of these current topics of the church, which really are the topics of the American church and of the Western European church, are simply because of the fact that the church, the ancient issues which it came to address, it no longer is relevant to them. So you have to view the Crusades as the high point of the church, but also as the beginning of the decline of the church. And we will see that it also changed the attitude of the church towards the Jews in a significant and negative fashion. Because what happened now was that when the Muslims regrouped and the Christians were unable to keep their hold in the Holy Land, and the Muslims recaptured Jerusalem and they took down the cross and they expelled the priests and they burned the churches, so then Christianity, which had made this a holy war, now had to respond. It could not be the way it was before, when they could have left it as they did for centuries under Muslim rule and it didn't trouble them. Because in effect now, under the rules that the church itself had made up, this was a contest of religions. And now the Christian religion was proved inferior. And therefore they had to take action. And this leads us to the Third Crusade, which out of all of the Crusades had the most effect upon the Jews. The Third Crusade had at its head the English king, Richard the Lionhearted, who in literature and in movies and in the popular imagination is always seen as a great and noble warrior, but who in actuality was a very deceitful, immoral, cunning, vicious person who attempted to have his father assassinated, his brothers assassinated. He was not a nice person, to put it mildly. And his conviction in leading the Third Crusade was basically political, because he was not really that religious. Though in the Middle Ages, everybody was religious. Nobody was observant, but everybody was religious. Everybody believed in heaven and hell, etc., but kings somehow felt that they would be able to buy their way out, or in, as the case may be. And in 1179, the Third Crusade began. Now, in England there arose the first recorded blood libel that we have in European history. The blood libel, as you know, is that Jews somehow use the blood of